that would scare you. Something that would scare you. So we're all fearless. I'll let you stew for a little bit. Something that would really scare you.
I don't know if it would really scare me, but I don't like lightning.
Lightning. Okay.
Standing on a real high surfaces, sea surface, it's really high.
Yeah.
Snakes.
Huh? Snakes. Snakes, yes.
Is that what you're talking about? Scared. Big scare.
Scared. Scare. Anyone else? Is that about it?
When you're driving, somebody's coming over into your lane of traffic, I'm able to get off the road.
Okay. Well, in your Bibles, at Matthew 10, the psalmist asks the question, who is like unto the Lord our God? Daniel, in his book of prophecy, just makes this statement about him. He says in chapter 4, He doeth according to his will. And then the author of Chronicles makes this statement about him. He does according to his will to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. And we know, says the Apostle Paul out of Romans 8, and we absolutely know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good. So whenever we consider all things, when things get hairy, okay, or we modify, when things get scary, okay, I would draw your attention to this figure of speech at verse number 30, which is what it is. It can be literally applied, but it's figuratively. So, talks about your hair. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Now with age, the math gets easier. Not that the Lord would have any difficulty keeping track. But when things get hairy, we can understand that the very hairs of your head are all numbered. And the takeaway from that statement is that not one of them shall fall on the ground without your Father's notice. Which is to say that if he is noticing something as slight as a hair in your life, what else do you suppose would escape his interest or attention in your life? And the answer to that would be nothing. Now, and I was looking here in Matthew chapter 10, there's about 6 or 7 items that would provide for a hairy experience or a scary experience. Like, for example, when I look at verse number 1, I see the word disease. Disease can be scary. Yes, sure can. Then you go down a little bit in verse number 8. Talks about heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and then cast out devils or demons. Demons are scary. They're real scary. You know, you think about that for a moment. Demons are more likely to be seen, but not in the mold of the caricature that authors and poets and so forth do. Demons are more apt to be seen as they inhabit human beings. Say, how can you tell if a person is demon possessed? Well, if you think about it, if you really think about it, that isn't all that hard to discern. I mean, you know, Hollywood makes much about the supernatural manifestations of what they suppose demon possession is like and what must be done to rid a person of a demon. The bottom line is that demon possession is remedied by one word. One word. The gospel. Enter Christ, enter the gospel, and the demon is out of there. It's that simple, but complex. So you have in verse 8 that, and you have on the 15th verse, he says to these folks that he's talking to, he says, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah." And then he makes reference, "in the day of judgment than for that city." The day of judgment. That's a scary prospect. Whether you're a saved person or whether you're lost, for a saved person, the day of judgment is the Bema Seat judgment. That's a scary prospect. But infinitely more so the unsaved person who faces the great white throne judgment, in which their sentence is to be executed and they are cast into hellfire forever and ever. Now, that's a scary prospect. That really is scary. And then you see in verse number 16, there's the wolf. "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." Wolves are pretty scary. I'm glad they're not so populous around our area. Their cousins are, and their upscale predators are. But for the most part, wolves aren't so populous around here. We sometimes see National Geographic or one of those history channels. They might do a piece on nature, and every now and again they will do a piece on the endangered species, and eventually they'll bring in the timber wolf. And I got to tell you, that's one critter that I would not want to come face to face with. I just wouldn't. There's no way you can run. There's no sense climbing anything. A wolf is pretty fierce. And then he says, and again, the wolf is to be taken figuratively in the 16th verse, because he's really referring to the folks in verse 18. "You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake." That can be pretty fearsome too. When you stand contrary to established magistrate, you know, with the request I made on Sunday for you to make contact with your representatives with regard to Governor Wolf's, no pun intended, Governor Wolf, his attempt to go around the legislators to have the Human Relations Commission change the word sex in the law to include sexual orientation and transgender people, that will have a catastrophic effect on businesses, on churches, on schools, on fitness clubs, baseball stadiums, football stadiums, you name it, there's going to be problems. All for the sake of maybe one out of every 5,000 people who would claim the problem. Any event, if that were to happen, then of course you and I may understand, along with a lot of other people, what it will be like to be caught crosswise to the governor and to his law enforcement agencies and his state attorneys and so forth. Then you look at the verse number 22, where, you know, Jesus has said this more in one place. He said, "You'll be hated of all men for my namesake." You know, there's only one way that you can be the recipient of that kind of hatred. There's only one way you can be recipient of that, is if the name of Christ is rather obvious in your life. And then verse 23 offers another scary thing. Persecute. When they persecute you in this city, flee to another. I mean, I think the fleeing is more scary to me than the persecution. You know? Most of us are getting to the age now where we can't outrun a turtle with a head start. So when it talks about fleeing to another city, that presents a whole unsavory bag of not so nice prospects. You know, I've long ago settled the issue of that concept that people have been talking about for the past 10 years of certain segments of our nation's populace being relocated to other places in a state where they're more easily cared for or controlled. And while all that sounds to be maybe a bit over the edge, you know, what it did was it made me stop and think is the fact that, I was born in America. I was raised in Pennsylvania. I legally own the property on which I sleep and eat and look out over my porch. It's mine. And God willing, there is where I will finish my days, no matter what it costs, no matter who says what to the contrary. And so the whole concept of fleeing to another city, that's scary. For the consequences that comes if you would ever have to do that. I mean, it's really not theoretical because there are a lot of people in large cities and mid-sized cities and small cities in Europe, United Kingdom, residents are looking to flee the city because of what's going on in their cities. Willing to shutter up their homes, pack up only the necessities they have, and get out of Dodge, so to speak, because of the threat that they must live under. That's scary. That is really scary. Consider also, we talk about immigrants and the problem that they present, illegal immigration, but think about the people who are caught in the middle of a conflict. And it's not that anybody's particularly zeroing in on them per se, but they're in the middle of two warring factions. And their homes are blown to smithereens. They're living in tents or they're living in boxes. Have just barely enough food, if that, and a little bit of water. And so whenever they get an opportunity to flee their city, they take that opportunity because it's survival. And there are a lot of places, in Syria, in Germany, and in the Netherlands, in Belgium, where people are being forced to do just that. So it's more than just theoretical. Whenever you think about all of that, we come down to verse number 26 and says, "Fear them not therefore, for there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that it shall not be known." Which brings us down to verse 29 and 30, when things get hairy. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing?" Oh, by the way, does a sparrow have hair? Does he have hair? Or is it all feathers? He does have hair? No? I'm going to take your word for it, doctors. Hosh. I'm just checking you. "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them, those cheap old birds, shall not fall on the ground without your father?" Well, the implication is father noticing. Not one. Now, I got a gang of them live right outside my office window. They have a nest down underneath a bush there. You know what those creeps do? All day long, they sit on top of the tree that's right outside my window. Bang! They fly into my window. And I shush them off and they fly away. And 10 minutes later, bang, into the window they come again. And then one of them will hang on the screen out there and he'll hit the thing with his beak. And I think, well, the father's noticing that. He's noticing that. And should one of them happen to fall to the ground, how do you run from the father? That the very hairs of your head are all numbered. When things get hairy and when things get scary, not one, not even the most minute thing going on in your life goes unnoticed by your father. Not one thing. And to illustrate that, in the book of Acts, chapter 27, at verse number 34, I say again, when things get hairy, here's the counsel of the apostle who's on board that storm-tossed vessel. He says to everybody on board, all 240 some odd folks, eat for your health. Eat for your health. And then here's what he follows it up with. There shall not fall, translation, there shall not fall so much as a hair from the head of any of you. Figure of speech, which is to say that everybody on board the vessel will arrive to their destination, a little wet perhaps, but they will arrive at their destination as planned. And I got to believe when we apply that truth that God was aware of the fear in every sailor's heart. The apostle himself was afraid on board that ship in that storm, and the Lord was aware of it all. And he laid down the stipulation. Everybody's got to stay on board. Everybody. You take means to keep everybody on board. And then when that ship gets closer toward landfall and finally dashes itself on the reef and comes apart, then swim for it. And they all arrived safely on land. So when things get hairy, and I can't imagine anything being more hairy than that. I keep reading, I don't know how many times could this happen to people, but more often than not, there's a fresh story brought every 3 months of somebody being stranded either on a surfboard or their little sailboat. I mean, can you imagine a guy in a sailboat half a size of this pew wanting to go across the Atlantic? I would say that's kind of hairy, wouldn't you? But I mean, think about this. When that thing crashes or the surfer's on board the surfboard and nightfall comes. And nightfall comes. There's not one inch of my body that would like to be in the water at that point. Not one. That's when things get scary. But even there, your Father knows. So I leave you to think about that. Because it is true, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And there is no limitation to the words, all things. None. Would you pray with me? Lord, we ask for your courage, for your aid and assistance in living the kind of life that will not fear men, but rather fear you. Lord, bring us to the place where we will be absolutely fearless of those who are able to take our lives, but fear you, who not only can do that, but then is able to deal with the soul. So, Lord, we're glad that you love us and you determined to keep us. And so when all around us looks pretty frightful, help us to flee, not to another city, but to flee to you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.